This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Christine Nguyen, Senior Vice President at MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper and Physician Alignment in Camden, New Jersey. Christine, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, before we begin our conversation, could you please tell us a little bit more about your background and a few points of pride at Cooper?
Sure. Very happy to do that. So I was very fortunate to have great mentors in my life, starting with my chairman of psychology at Furman University. And I had always had my heart set on being a caregiver of some kind. And she really taught me that you need to be open to feedback and kind of gave me the feedback that, you know, something along the lines of business might be better for you. So she pointed me in the direction of health administration, and I haven't looked back with any regret at all. It's been a wonderful field for me to get into. I went to the University of South Carolina for my master's degree in health administration and have had a wonderful career for the last 25 years in doing all sorts of things, from everything from inpatient operations to outpatient operations, and now my role with Cooper, where I have responsibility for our 100 medical practice locations, as well as our 6 cancer center sites, and our relationship with MD Anderson Houston, which we are so proud of. But in terms of Cooper, I have to say that the points of pride there are really our mission. Our mission is simply to serve, heal, and educate. And the servant leadership attitude is just pervasive in how we run our organization and how we are in terms of our employees, our providers, and our patients. And from our standpoint, I think I'm incredibly proud of the team that we have that take care of our patients every day. So that is a true point of pride from our providers, our MAs, our nurses. They innovate, they demonstrate that compassion and teamwork and just clinical excellence every day. In terms of healing, which is part of our mission as well, pride there would relate to my MD Anderson Cancer Center role here at Cooper, where we have novel therapies, we have clinical trials, and expert surgeons that really take care of our patients using the latest techniques that are in concert with what they do in Houston. And it's just such a wonderful resource that we have now here for the last 7 years of our relationship in the South Jersey community. And then in terms of education, I think obviously in COVID, it's been super difficult to think about how do you educate people when you're in the middle of a pandemic, you can't have large crowds. So pivoting to online learning for both our patients as well as our fellows, being able to do interviews for new fellows and residents through Zoom and other mechanisms has been an amazing journey, but also has done really, really well in terms of getting great candidates and getting great responses from our patients who have now become quite tech savvy. And I think the last thing, a last point of pride is also in education. We've just recently finished with an intern who was finishing his master's in health administration. And he was able to come here and do a 6-month residency with us from University of Scranton. And so that might seem simple, but again, during a pandemic, trying to figure out how best to keep him safe, as well as have him work on projects that were going to add to his body of knowledge, has been a real test of how to do that, but we did it successfully and he's able to graduate and he'll now be staying on here at Cooper. So I think our mission really speaks to why I'm so proud to work for this organization.
Wow, that's fascinating to hear about and really great that you were able to work that out for the residency and just being able to make that happen during the pandemic. Now, how are you thinking about growth over the next 1 to 3 years?
Yeah, I think that's the pandemic has really taught us a lot about how, as an organization, we can think about growth. And prior to COVID, we had been in the midst of an ambulatory strategic plan as well as a cancer strategic plan. And both of those really pointed to us supporting our patients in their community by looking at ambulatory development within communities. Instead of building more at our central campus in Camden, really looking out toward the community, how can we support patients and their care needs locally so that they don't have to travel far? With the pandemic, that also opened up the whole concept of growth through the digital front door. What are ways that we can look at digitizing our care delivery, our education, our outreach, and allowing patients to have access to us right through their phone or through a portal or in another format that we can make it easy and accessible to that patient, telemedicine, all of those sorts of things, which has really opened our eyes to how important accessibility is and that being more portable is really possible. I think as a tertiary center, we're also thinking about growth from expanding capability here on our main campus so that that tertiary care can continue to happen and we can continue to grow and again, meet the needs of our community.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for going through that with us. I think, especially when looking at some of the digital possibilities for growth, it's really exciting to hear about what you've been able to do. Now, what are you most excited about right now and what really makes you nervous?
Yeah, so many things, both from the pandemic standpoint and then what the pandemic has really done in terms of the healthcare system. So really excited about, it's kind of the same thing that I'm excited and nervous about, but people getting back to their healthcare routines. I think all of us during the height of the pandemic put things off. We either had to because they were shut down or we had to because we were fearful. So many studies out there point to as much as 70% of cancer screenings have been pushed off. And that's through Medicare data and other claims data that insurance companies have now been studying, looking at 2019 versus 2020 claims and thinking about what that impact is going to be in terms of late diagnosis, late starts for treatment. So from a cancer perspective, I'm super nervous about the impact that we're going to see about late stage diagnosis. The exciting part is really getting people back to basics about their health, really having people who have gone out and bought their Peloton bikes or they've gone out and started new routines because they didn't have the availability of a gym, so they had to get creative. Maybe they've started to walk outside or do things for themselves. I think all of those things are very positive in terms of a trend that we might be able to capitalize on about health and wellness. And how do we continue that trend so that people then see health screenings as part of that new healthy behavior that they want to continue? Certainly, we all went through the COVID-19 of putting on the 19 pounds. But I think quickly we all then decided we needed to do something about those pounds and change our eating habits and really think about how we protect ourselves from the inside outside. And I think that this new healthy behavior pattern can add to that by really helping us figure out preventative care being a turning point now for a value proposition going forward for all health systems to really be true health partners instead of only a place that you go when you're sick.
Got it. Yeah, I really like that vision for the future in terms of looking at healthcare and how important screenings are, preventable care, and then really, you know, being able to transform the way that people look at and interact with the healthcare system.
Right. And we as healthcare leaders really need to capitalize on this new awareness and bring attention through either, you know, social media channels or our own organizations, really focusing on what are those things that we can do in our communities to drive prevention and drive people back to feeling comfortable to get their screening tests like mammography and colonoscopy and pap screening, prostate screening.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for describing that for me today. I think this has been really, really great to hear. Before we wrap up our conversation, I wanted to ask you about leadership. What are your top three pieces of advice for aspiring leaders today?
Yeah, so I always give this advice, and I'm old enough in healthcare that I have now had students come back to me and say, "I remember when you told me this." And so that, and one happens to be now a program director for an MHA program in New England, but it's bloom where you're planted. So a lot of times as a young or aspiring healthcare leader, you're thinking, "Oh, I want to go from this job to being a CEO." The thing is, you really need to stop and look around you and see what you can learn. Continue to be curious about the job that you're in. Do the best job that you can ha that you can at that point, and don't feel that any job is beneath you because you can always learn and blossom anywhere. You can be brave in accepting new challenges, and you know, chasing a title is not really the most important thing. The most important thing is really to broaden your experience. So bloom where you're planted is always my first piece of advice. Another piece of advice is to focus on relationships. I always think that building networks everywhere you go, having the opportunity to talk to different people is very important as you go through your career. I like to say that I collect people along my way, so that I make sure that those folks, I keep in touch with them. I celebrate their successes and amplify things that they think are important. Professional associations go along with that. For me, that professional association is the American College of Healthcare Executives. I've been an active member since I was a student in South Carolina, and I continue that membership today. I have met so many wonderful people that have both been colleagues, mentors, friends, and that's been another source of just comfort. And ACHE has been a real trusted partner. The other thing, along with relationships, goes communication, kindness, and teamwork. Those are super important elements to being a good colleague to your peers in your organization, to your supervisor, to all of the folks that you might have under your care as a leader. And those are really important things too in terms of relationships. And then the very last one, I really preach this, and I also do it myself, is to stay teachable. I think lifelong learning isn't always seeking formal degrees, but it's just having that spirit of inquiry and curiosity about health and caring and people and their circumstances, because that's really what we should be about as healthcare leaders, is caring for our community, being that trusted partner, being that beacon in a potentially dark time for people. How do we continue to stay grounded in the fact that we are caring for people and that we need to stay in a spirit of learning? So those are the pieces of advice I would give to aspiring leaders.
Christine, that was some great advice that you had. Number one, blooming where you're planted. Number two, focusing on relationships and being able to build networks wherever you go. And then number three, staying teachable and always learning. I think that is such an important aspect of anybody's career building, whether you're trying to be a top executive or really just being the best you can be. Thank you so much for this great discussion, Christine. I really appreciate you being here, and I look forward to connecting with you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laura. You'll be part of my people collection from now
Oh, fantastic.
on.
I'm glad to have you in my network as well. I think this has been great.
Thank you.